Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Congressman Brian Higgins. Congressman Higgins, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Doing well this morning, Congressman. Let me ask you a very simple question. What is your take on what happened the last 5 days in Congress?
Well, a lot of chaos, a lot of uncertainty in what is traditionally a ceremonial transfer of power. And you had 15 rounds of votes. You had over 6,000 votes cast collectively and with the entire Congress. You had 15 hours of voting. That's not counting nominating speeches. And finally, a speaker was selected with really less than a majority. They had to lower the threshold in order for Kevin McCarthy to get the votes that he needed to become speaker. The problem is, this again traditionally occurs in Congress, but there were a lot of, the Republican, members who, are a majority now, legitimately, talked about, the importance for transparency and everything else. And each successive vote that failed, they went back into their war room and cut deals to diminish the authority of this speaker and future speakers. And, when you have a body of 435 members, you need a central organizing influence. The legislative process, the lawmaking process, is very complicated. It's highly inefficient. It's very sloppy. And but it's necessary when you have so many different points of view. You have a motion to vacate, which essentially gives one member of Congress the ability to advance a resolution that has to be voted on by the entire body to throw out the speaker. Now, you can do that after one day. You can do it after 1 week. You can do it after a month. That is going to be a very, very difficult circumstance as it relates to really getting things done. So it was unprecedented. We haven't seen anything like this since the 19th century. And it was very chaotic in a process. You didn't have Congress functioning for an entire week. No rules. They were telling us that we couldn't service our constituents because we had not been sworn into office. You can't be sworn into office until a speaker has been selected. So on a number of levels, it was highly dysfunctional, and it was not good for the nation.
Congressman, how does this compare? Obviously, this went 15 rounds. Now, 2 years ago, there were people that, wanted to see a different speaker. But on the Democrat side, we saw people come together and agree that Nancy Pelosi would be the speaker for two more years. How did that work out 2 years ago, where the Democrats didn't get to the point of what we saw this week?
Well, again, that's why it's unprecedented. You're clearly going to have differing views about a nominated speaker. So, in other words, Kevin McCarthy was nominated within his conference with a clear majority of votes of that conference. However, those that lost in the caucus vote, which is informal, decided that they're not going to provide him with the votes that he needs to become speaker on the floor. So you work out the differences prior to the vote. The thing that was really amazing to me, it didn't appear as though Kevin McCarthy had a strategy to deal with, the dissenting voters in his caucus. And, you play this thing out, you game it out. And again. It doesn't appear as though that occurred, and consequently, we had 15 rounds of voting, where at one point, Kevin McCarthy was losing votes, not gaining them. So I think the Democrats eventually pulled it together before there was the display that we saw played out over the last 5 days on the House floor. There are always going to be, you know, conflicts. There are always going to be issues that need to be worked out, but they can be worked out over time. And this just appeared to be, you know, a very sloppy, inefficient, and I think destructive display of you know, selecting a leader to a speaker of the House of Representatives.
Congressman Higgins, one more question on this, and then I'll move to something else. You know, obviously now the Republicans have a very small majority in Congress. Do you see anywhere where Democrats and Republicans will be able to work together in Congress over the next 2 years?
Well, I was hoping that there would be some, you know, effort to, you know, do a bipartisan deal as it relates to the speaker to give, you know, Democrats a say as to what goes on in the 118th Congress. You know, keep in mind that this election, the House Republicans are a majority with 6,670 votes total in the country out of 107 million votes that were cast. That just goes to show you how close the majority is. So it's less than 7,000 votes. But yeah, there's clearly opportunity to work together. And this past, you know, legislative session, 117th Congress, a lot was accomplished. A bipartisan infrastructure bill, the largest infrastructure investment in the history of America, the CHIPS Act, to make America compete more competitive with China, with other countries that are not necessarily allies of ours in the manufacturing of semiconductors. So, you know, there is opportunity. My hope is that members will see that vision as an opportunity to move the country forward, to grow the American economy, and to grow opportunity.
Now, earlier this week, 4 days ago, we saw the push to have the Blizzard of 22 qualify as a major disaster. Congressman, walk us through that that process, and when will we know if the Blizzard of 22 is a major disaster according to FEMA, and what the region will get from that?
Yeah, the president signed into law an emergency declaration of a disaster area, which qualifies municipalities within Buffalo to receive 75% of the costs incurred as it relates to the storm. We are seeking a major declaration, which would enable municipalities to receive 100% of the costs. And the threshold is $36 million. The cost of the cleanup, the recovery, if you will, from this major event was far exceeded $36 million. So my hope is, to answer your question specifically, within a month, we will have a major declaration approved, which would provide 100% federal funding for the cleanup costs of this major storm that we just experienced.
Is there any question that that will get approved, or is it just a matter of the time?
Well, it's not approved. You know, we sought the emergency declaration, a disaster declaration, which was approved, and this is this would give us, you know, the additional 25%, so it would be 100%. So it's not a done deal until it's a done deal, but I am optimistic that we will be able to achieve that, and I think that that will be done in a bipartisan way.
In the city, there's a panel that's going to be put together to look at how we can better put together a storm plan for a blizzard of this magnitude. We're seeing a study at the New York University. What are you hoping to see out of these studies into storm and how we can prepare better next time there is a blizzard coming through this region?
Well, we it was a major snow event, a weather event. Climate change has certainly contributed. The winds are windier, the wets are wetter, the snows are snowier. And this was a ferocious storm that debilitated Buffalo and Western New York for, 4 days. The Blizzard of 77, which was 50 years ago, almost 50 years ago, was a blizzard that debilitated the city for weeks. So I think for every event, you learn something from it as it relates to preparedness, as it relates to deploying all of the manpower and equipment that you need to keep people safe. The reality is we lost way too many lives, and those, you know, the circumstances surrounding every single one of them has to be taken into account as it relates to the one fundamental and only question that's important, and that is, what could we have done to reduce the amount of property damage and the lives lost in this tragedy? So, you know, this was a circumstance where we had high winds, a lot of snow, extreme freezing, rapid freezing, all occurring at the same time. And people, look, it's human nature. People are skeptical sometimes. You have a weather forecast, and people will not adhere to the admonishments of officials that say, you know, stay home. And a lot of people went out that shouldn't have. And we all do it because of necessity. That resulted in lives lost. So I think, you know, there's a lot to be learned in each one of these events. It's never going to be perfect. But the fact of the matter is we have to do better. I think that, you know, the mayor, the county executive have acknowledged that we need to do better. And I think that we will do better. But part of doing better is figuring out what was done previously to figure out what we can do to change the emergency response to this, you know, major weather event. And keep in mind, Joe, we've had now two major snow events within a month of each other. And that is indicative of a trend that is likely to continue given the effect of climate change.
Congressman, obviously, you know, in Congress all week, but here at home, we've been following Damar Hamlin. Monday night, went down cardiac arrest, and now just a few days ago, talking with his teammates, making progress every day. What have you thought of this week with the Bills Mafia?
An amazing event. All of my colleagues were inquiring about the circumstances, particularly relates to Mr. Hamlin, and it's an incredible set of circumstances. You know, he was unresponsive; his heart had stopped, and because of the medical personnel, the medical equipment that they had, they were able to resuscitate him, get him to the hospital on time, and here we are, less than a week away from what was a very, very grave feeling in circumstance on Monday night, less than a week. He's now responsive. He's communicating. Breathing tubes have been removed. It is an incredible turnaround. But you also see the humanity of people, you know, regardless of how, you know, people are clearly immersed in the Buffalo Bills experience and the game itself. You know, the game was suspended. And, you know, the coach, Sean McDermott, said that, you know, he needs to be at the hospital. He can't coach he can't coach this game. It just goes to show you how, you know, good people respond individually and collectively toward the goal of helping, make this situation, which could have been, you know, awful, turn it around and make it something where, you know, there's a lot of hope about, you know, his recovery.
And with that positive news, definitely going to be an emotional game in Orchard Park. Congressman, you think a Bills win today?
I do. I think that, you know, not only the strength of the team under normal circumstances, but obviously the inspiration to have one teammate go through what he had gone through. And, you know, the first thing he said when he woke up was, did we win the game? Or who won the game? Just goes to show you that there's going to be a high level of, I think, very positive emotion in Orchard Park today at the Bills Patriots game.
Congressman Brian Higgins, always appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.